Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Cage podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog. This is Preview Spotlight 110 for the December 2016 previews. Now, in this episode, we'll be going over some of the items and previews you might find interesting. And the way we figure out they're interesting is we've got an open submission policy. Listeners like you are people who send in these clips. So it's not like we've got any sort of, you know, arcane or even scientific method for picking it out. It's just people have flipped through the catalog, said, ooh, that looks interesting. They send in a clip. You can do that too. Matter of fact, I'd love it if you did. There are thousands of items and previews each and every month. It's easy for things to get lost in the shuffle. It's easy for things to fly beneath people's radar. I have that happen to me quite a bit. And that's part of why I do these episodes, is you guys can be pointing out to me things I probably ought to be getting, or at least should be getting to read. You know what, I buy enough comics as it is, but you know, there's always room for one more. I think that's part of where my bad spending habits come. Anyways. Obviously, we're not going to go item by item, page by page, or even publisher by publisher. We're just going to hit the highlights. Again, that's determined by the clips that get sent in. So with that, let's get going.
Hello, this is Ian Gowan, a fan of this podcast. And this month, I am looking forward to a hardcover comic called Hellboy Into the Silent Sea from Dark Horse Comics on page 40 of your December previews catalog. It's written by Mike Mignola, with art by Gary Gianni, and colors by Dave Stewart. And the solicit is as follows. Hellboy sets sail from the wreckage of a deserted island, only to cross paths with a ghost ship, taken captive by the Phantom crew that plans to sell him to the circus. Hellboy is dragged along by a captain, who will stop at nothing in pursuit of a powerful sea creature. Following the island events of Hellboy the Island, Gary Gianni draws Hellboy in a brand new graphic novel. I really look forward to this because, of course, the writing by Mike Mignola, and I love Hellboy, and also the art by Gary Gianni, who is also listed as a writer and an artist. And Gary Gianni, he's done a few things, but not a lot of things. It's been a while since he released some sequential comics art, and I think the last thing he did probably was the art for Prince Valiant, the comic strip that is very famous, originally done by Hal Foster. And you had to be a very good artist to get picked to do Prince Valiant. Anyways, he also did Monster Men, which was a backup, Hellboy, and from Dark Horse. So I think that's where you got the connection. Anyways, I really look forward to this. It's going to be 56 pages, full color. It's also 7 by 10 inches, which I think is a little bit larger than a regular size comic. It's $14.99. It's about the size of, say, two and a half comics. But if you go through DCBS, it's 40% off. It's about $9. To me, it's worth it, although we get to wait a couple extra months, because most comics listed in December are released in February, but this won't be released till April 19th. But I really look forward to it anyways. Once again, this is Hellboy Into the Silent Sea. It's a hardcover from Dark Horse, and I'm really looking forward to this one. Thanks a lot, John.
Hey guys, it's Drew with a pick from Dark Horse on page 49. It's Ether, number 4 of 5. Written by Matt Kent with art by David Rubin. It's a $3.99 book. Comes out on February 15th and is 32 pages. This is, of course, a 5-issue miniseries. I just read the first issue and really liked it. And this issue is a little different. 12-year-old Hazel loves spending summers at her grandmother's house. Granny's magical stories of adventure in the ether are unlike the stories and fairy tales Hazel finds at the library. And then one summer, Hazel gets a little too curious and discovers the source of those stories. When she falls through a well into a magical dimension, she learns that there's a dark side to the ether that her granny never told her about. Okay. If for those of you who have read the first issue, you might notice that Hazel's not in that first issue. So this is like totally different person talking about experiencing this magical land. So I'm curious as to what issue 2 is going to be like. And I'm also curious about 3 and 4 now. I thought I had one thing, and maybe now I have something else. So Matt Kent will do that. Sometimes he zigs in when you think he's going to zag. And if you enjoyed issue one, make sure you pre-order issue four, because it's a little different. Check it out on page 49 of Dark Horse.
This is Dr. Mo with my first pick for the Previews Spotlight episode, The Wildstorm, number one, written by Warren Ellis and art by John Davis Hunt. Warren Ellis returns to the Wildstorm universe is like being reunited with an old friend. I still fondly remember when Ellis took over Stormwatch with issue 37, when Wildstorm titles were still being published through Image Comics. My devotion to Ellis's brand of Wildstorm comics continued through the original versions of Deviate, The Authority, and of course his masterpiece, Planetary. Aiding Ellis in this endeavor is artist John Davis Hunt. Davis Hunt is a new name for me, but I know he recently worked on Clean Room with Gail Simone. Davis Hunt has also done some work on 2000 AD and Judge Dredd. This is not Ellis's first go around at relaunching an imprint and revamping characters. Relaunching titles and properties has become Ellis's stick since Counter-X in the late 90s to New Universal in the 2000s and most recently Moon Knight. I hope Ellis utilizes the lessons he learned throughout these previous launches. I want a Wildstorm related title that lasts more than just one issue like Grant Morrison and Jim Lee's Wildcats from a few years ago, or most recent versions of Grifter and Voodoo when the New 52 launched. I just hope Ellis remembers his old Stormwatch saying, change or die. The marketplace is not very kind to new books and new relaunches these days, regardless of the pedigree of the creative team involved. The Wildstorm number one is $3.99 and can be found in the DC section of Previews. This is Dr. Mo with my second and technically third picks for the Previews Spotlight episode, Justice League of America Rebirth number one and Justice League of America number one from DC Comics. After taking a few months off from my poll list, a regular Justice League title is back. Justice League of America Rebirth number one and Justice League of America number one are both written by Steve Orlando. Both issues are drawn by Ivan Reis with Joe Prado. So why am I so excited about this book? Well, I've been a huge Justice League fan going back to my childhood, but I'm not feeling the Brian Hitch Justice League title that launched at the start of Rebirth. Nor was I a fan of his Justice League of America title that started post-Convergence. Quite frankly, I'm a little sick and tired of creators trying to replicate the Grant Morrison JLA formula with the side of Geoff Johns thrown in. The lineup for this new Justice League of America book is an interesting mix of Justice League characters from the pre-New 52 universe with a couple of wild cards. I also like having a team that mostly consists of characters without their own book. This means the stakes are raised for some characters because the creative team does not have to account for other titles. I also think it was a smart move of Steve Orlando and the editorial team to incorporate comic versions of characters that have appeared on the CW TV shows, such as Vixen, Adam, Killer Frost. If you're not completely sold on Justice League of America Rebirth or Justice League of America number one, I suggest you pick up one or more of the one-shots that will be coming out in January. These one-shots will spotlight a particular team member. Justice League of America Rebirth number one and Justice League of America number one can be found on pages 72 and 73 of the Previews catalog. Each issue costs $2.99, and I believe that this title will be twice monthly going forward. This is Dr. Mo with my next pick for the Preview Spotlight episode, Batwoman Rebirth number one, written by James Tynion IV and Marguerite Bennett, with art by Ben Oliver and Steve Epting. DC Rebirth has been kind to Batwoman. Under the guidance of James Tynion IV, Kate Kane helps make Detective Comics a compelling bat title twice a month. I'm glad that DC is using Detective as a springboard for a new Batwoman series. I've been a fan of the Kate Kane version of Batwoman since she was introduced in 52. I absolutely love her initial run in Detective Comics that was written by Greg Rucka and drawn by G.H. Williams III. The Greg Rucka stuff really sets up the relationship between Batwoman and her father, which has been explored during the James Tynion run on Detective Comics. The art team for Batwoman Rebirth number one is Ben Oliver and Steve Epton. I'm really curious to see how these two will mesh together, because in my mind, I feel like their styles are somewhat in contrast to each other. Plus, Epton is primarily known as a Marvel guy. He has done some work at DC before, but that was many years ago. So this will be interesting to see him working on a DC book. Ben Oliver's art style, in my opinion, can be hit or miss. I find that his characters seem cold, and that often his backgrounds are lacking. And Steve Epting, on the other hand, felt like his artwork was very warm, very full. There's a lot of expression and a lot of action going on within his panels. Epting, in my opinion, has really stepped up his game after his experience at CrossGen and when he came back to Marvel to work on Captain America with Ed Brubaker. Velvet, his Image Comics series that recently wrapped up, is a gorgeous book to look at. And I think that if you enjoyed Velvet, or if you sampled what he did on Captain America, I think you'll be in for a treat on this book. From what I understand, Steve Epting will be the ongoing penciler for the Batwoman series. So I think it will definitely be a gorgeous looking book. Batwoman Rebirth number one can be found on page 74 of previews. It is $2.99.
Hi, I'm Billy Hogan, host of the Superman Fan Podcast, and I go by Superman Fan on the forums. My first pick in the December 2016 previews comes in the DC Comics section on page 75 with Super Sons number 1, written by Peter J. Tomasi, art and cover by Jorge Jimenez, and variant cover by Dustin Nguyen. When I Grow Up, Part 1. The sons of Batman and Superman have graduated to their own monthly comic, but if they want to survive, they're going to have to share it. Writer Peter J. Tomasi, Batman and Robin, Superman, teams up with rising star artist Jorge Jimenez, Earth 2, to bring you the adventures of the world's smallest. This debut issue looks at the lives of Robin and Superboy and their destiny to follow in their father's footsteps, while we meet a new villain whose ascension parallels the boy's own understanding of their powers, except that he believes it's his right to rule over every being on the planet. On sale February 15th, 32 pages for $2.99. I know someone else has picked this issue as well to do a clip about, but I hope you'll pardon me for also picking it, because I go back to the 1960s with the imaginary Superman stories about Superman being married and having children and having his descendants take over his mantle. So I'm fascinated by this look at both Superman and Batman having sons who have the potential to follow in their footsteps. And there were a few stories back in the early 60s of Alfred writing what we today would call fan fiction, as he would write stories where Bruce Wayne has grown old and retired, Dick Grayson has become the second Batman, and Bruce Wayne's son has become the second Robin. So this new title has really touched upon a fond memory of my childhood reading comic books, and I'm looking forward to reading it. I just received Superman issues number 10 and 11 in my latest shipment from Discount Comic Book Service, so I haven't had a chance yet to read the first team-up between Jonathan and Damian, but I'm really looking forward to that storyline and Super Sons as well. Back to you, John.
Hey guys, this is the Brawlinator, and I've got my first pick here. It's on page 75 in the DC section. It's Super Sons number 1. Fans who've been eagerly awaiting to see the team-up between Robin and Superboy now have a better idea of how much longer they'll have to wait. After initially being slated for a September launch, Super Sons will arrive in February 2017 as part of DC Comics' next wave of Rebirth series. DC made the announcement during the Diamond Retailer Breakfast held at New York Comic Con. The title was originally announced as being written by Chris Burns and Dennis Culver with art by Jorge Jimenez. Then there were delays, and no reason was given by DC on the delays or the change in writers, but apparently the pairing of these two sons of superheroes was so well received when they met back in Superman number 10, written by Peter Tomasi. It just made more sense to DC since Tomasi's been writing those characters so well in Superman. Tomasi will reunite with Jorge Jimenez, who has illustrated some issues of Superman since Rebirth began. The story for this first act is going to be called When I Grow Up, and the solicit reads, "The sons of Batman and Superman have graduated to their own monthly comic, but if they want to survive, they're going to have to share it." Peter J. Tomasi of Batman and Robin and Superman teams with rising star artist Jorge Jimenez, who did a great job on Earth 2, to bring you the adventures of the world's smallest. This debut issue looks at the lives of Robin and Superboy and their destiny to follow in their father's footsteps, while we meet a new villain whose ascension parallels the boys' own understanding of their powers, except that he believes it's his right to rule over every being on the planet. DC is holding the line at $2.99 on this one, which is to be lauded in this day and age, I guess. Hopefully the book is a lot of fun. It should be. Check it out for yourself on page 75 of this month's previews.
My first pick for the month is on page 75, and it too is Super Sons number 1. And really, I don't know that there's much more that I have to say or need to say about this, other than I too am really looking forward to it. I was a fan of the old Super Sons stories that I read in reprints and stuff, because they were done back in the early 70s or whatnot, but they were fun for what they were, and this looks to be a lot of fun for what it'll be. With the in-continuity sons of Batman and Superman. I'm hoping at some point we get the previous quote-unquote son of Superman, Chris Kent, who was the adopted son. I think he was the son of General Zod. He went by Nightwing with the Kryptonian Flamebird and Nightwing stuff at one point. I think it would be fun to see that previous quote-unquote Superboy along with one of the other Robins. At some point is kind of, you know, elder siblings or whatever of sorts to these two. Could just be a lot of fun. Anyways, I've enjoyed what they've done in Superman. I'm looking forward to what they're gonna do here. This has a lot of potential. I'm expecting before too long, Superboy may even join the Teen Titans, because that could be fun too. Anyways, it's a comic book page pick of the month, so we've got a 50% discount at DCBS. So once again, Super Sons number 1. Check it out.
Billy Hogan again. My second and third picks in the December previews comes in the DC Comics section on page 76 with Action Comics numbers 973 and 974. Written by Dan Jurgens, art by Patrick Zerker, Steven Zegovia, and Art Thiebert. Covers by Clay Mann. Variant covers by Gary Frank. Mild-mannered part 1. The road to Superman Reborn starts here. With Superman and Lex Luthor back on Earth, the Man of Steel turns his attention to uncovering the mystery of the human Clark Kent living and working in Metropolis. But there's something off about this guy, and Superman better figure out just what it is before it's too late. Mild-mannered Part 2. The mystery of the human Clark Kent unravels. Lois stalks Clark's trail, but all signs point to something big on the horizon. Even the relative safety of their upstate farm can't protect Superman and his family from the threat they never expected. Clark Kent. Issue 973 on sale February 8th. Issue 974 on sale February 22nd. Each issue is 32 pages long for the cover price of $2.99. The cover shown on this page is very menacing with a grim-looking Clark Kent with the reflection of Superman, Lois, and Jonathan reflected in his glasses. It really makes it seem that Clark has a dark secret, and I'm looking forward to learning what it is. I'm especially concerned about Lois's safety around this guy. Back to you, John.
Action Comics 973 is another one of the comic page picks of the month. I'm very curious what their plan is with this Clark Kent situation. What they've told so far I found very interesting. I think it's a fun way to clearly establish that Clark Kent and Superman are not the same person. I think once everyone's convinced of that, I think this time, this Clark Kent's time may be very limited. So we may be getting that point already. Again, the backstory they've given him so far is fascinating, and I'm curious where they go with it. This Action Comics has been one of my favorite titles from the Rebirth era of DC so far. It's just terrific. They've done some other great books elsewhere, but this is the one that's kind of the top of the stack for me, the first thing I want to read, just because I want to know what happens next. Between Superman, Clark, Lex, Lois, everything going on, they're just doing some terrific stuff. So, like I said, it is a comic book page pick of the month. We got a 50% discount on it through DCBS. Action Comics 973 on page 76, so check it out. My next pick is on page 93, and it's Justice League number 15. This is part one of the Timeless storyline, and basically it's got the Justice League having to travel throughout history to go fight the Timeless. I have no idea what the Timeless is or what kind of cosmic threat they are, but Justice League time travel, hey, that works for me. I'm looking forward to it. We've got Brian Hitch stepping off the title. So we've got, he's stepping off the art choice. He's still doing the writing. We've got Fernando Passerin and Matt Ryan on the art and cover for number 15. I'll be honest, I've had a little mixed feelings about what Hitch has been doing overall, but it's been entertaining enough and whatnot, so I'm still in for it, and definitely I'm looking forward to the new storyline. Should be a lot of fun. It is a comic book page pick of the month, so we've got a 50% discount on it through DCBS. Once again, that's Justice League number 15 on page 93. Check it out.
Billy Hogan again. My fourth and fifth picks in the December previews comes on page 99 in the DC Comics section with Superman number 16 and 17. Written by Peter J. Tomasi and Patrick Gleason. Issue number 16, art by Doug Monkey, Jorge Jimenez, and others. Issue number 16, cover by Ryan Sook. Issue number 17, art and cover by Sebastian Fumara. Pardon me if I mispronounce that name. Variant covers by Andrew Robinson. Multiplicity Finale. Superman, New Super-Man, and Justice Incarnate make their last stand against their multiverse-spanning foe, and the Man of Steel discovers another clue to the truth of his existence. Dark Harvest. John and Kathy go deep into the woods of Hamilton to find a horror that hungers for the new Superboy. Issue number 16 on sale February 1st. Issue number 17 on sale February 15th. Each issue is 32 pages for $2.99. Rebirth seems an appropriate name for DC's latest continuity adjustment. It certainly has given me a rebirth of my excitement over the Superman titles. There's a heart and soul to the stories that was missing with the new 52 Superman, at least after the first storylines that introduced that new continuity. So I'm really enjoying the Superman titles this year. Back to you, John. Billy Hogan again. My sixth pick in the December previews comes in the DC Comics section on page 100 with Superwoman number 7. Written by Phil Jimenez, art by Phil Jimenez, cover by Andy Kubert, variant cover by Renato Guedes, and pardon me if I mispronounce that name. Who Killed Superwoman Finale. The battle between Ultrawoman and Superwoman proves too much for either to bear. As Lena Luthor's dream of surpassing her brother Lex and asserting total domination over Metropolis starts to vanish before her eyes, only one solution remains. Make sure Superwoman dies, for good this time. Don't skip to this issue's shocker ending. On sale February 8th, 32 pages for $2.99. I've really been enjoying Phil Jimenez as writer and artist on this title. He's really made a story that has a lot of depth. It's a very dense story that takes me a little bit longer to read, which makes it really worth more for me. I can really sink my teeth, so to speak, in each issue, and there's a lot to go back over and pick up after I've read the overall story. So I'm really glad I picked up this series starting with the very first issue. Back to you, John.
Aloha, guys. This is Jason. I'm here at Dragon's Lair with my next pick from the DC section on page 109. It's the Commandy Challenge number 2. It's written by Peter J. Tomasi, art and cover by Neil Adams. Now, the solicit reads, after the thrilling events of issue number 1, Peter J. Tomasi and artist Neil Adams rescue the last boy on Earth and send... Now, this is pretty funny because there's a typo in this solicit. They spelled send S-E-N-D-X. Now, I'm going to continue with the solicit. Him on his next adventure. Now, Commandy must save Tiger King Caesar and his people from impending doom. Will he be the hero they need, or will he use the chaos of the situation to escape for good? Basically, I'm picking, I've already got this on my pull list here at Dragon's Lair. The reason why I'm pointing this issue out specifically is because of legendary artist Neil Adams. That's why I'm picking up, that's why I'm submitting a clip, and that's why, of course, I'm picking up this issue, because of the art by Neil Adams. So if you guys get a chance, pick up the Commandy Challenge number 2. Thank you for listening. Back to you, John.
Aloha, guys. This is Jason from Hawaii. My pick for this month's preview spotlight comes from the DC section on page 126. It's Batman, Eagle, and Other Tales Deluxe Edition Hardcover. The solicit basically reads, this volume collecting Darwin Cook's greatest Batman stories is now available as a deluxe hardcover. It includes the complete epics of Batman, Eagle, and Catwoman, Selina's Big Score, plus other tales from Batman Gotham Knights number 23 and 33, and stories from Solo number 1 and number 5. Now, I'm picking up this, hardcover because of Darwin Cook's Batman story called Batman, Eagle. I already have this, in the prestige format when it first came out, and I believe, it came out back in 2005. To me, this Batman story, is one of the, great Batman stories of recent years. It's a psychological story of Batman fighting literally his inner demon, and the art, it reminded me of the Batman the Animated Series. So again, the story was really great. The art, was really great. It really pulled on my nostalgia strings. So like I said, it was a great combination, and like I said, Batman Eagle, it was a great Batman story. If you're a Batman fan or a Darwin Cook fan, I recommend that you guys pick this up. I definitely will. So if you guys get a chance, pick up Batman Eagle and Other Tales Deluxe Edition Hardcover. Thank you for listening. Back to you, John.
Billy Hogan again. My seventh pick in the December previews comes in the Vertigo part of the DC section on page 133 with Astro City number 43, written by Kurt Busiek, art by Matthew Clark, and cover by Alex Ross. They call him Mr. Manta, the Scourge of the Seven Seas. At least they called him that a long time ago. Nobody's called him anything for years, but that's about to change. What happens when a long-forgotten villain makes his dramatic return? Can he find his place in the world, or has it moved on without him? Featuring guest artist Matthew Clark of Wonder Woman and Doom Patrol. On sale February 15th, 32 pages for $3.99. One of the things I like about this title is that Kurt Busiek and the rest of the creators have built a very deep history of superheroes of Astro City, incorporating the entire history of the superhero genre while making it seem fresh and new. We see heroes come and go. We see the physical and mental toll in being a superhero, much like firefighters or policemen face, which gives each issue a depth that a lot of superhero titles just don't have. And that's what keeps me coming back each month for more. Back to you, John.
There can be only one. kings, we're the princes of the universe.
It's Brawlinator again. I'm over on page 156 in the IDW section. This is my next pick. It's Highlander, the American Dream number one. It would appear that Eternal Comics has thankfully lost the Highlander license and IDW Entertainment has taken it. This will be a Highlander prequel. Highlander is the epic action-adventure fantasy film from the 80s starring Christopher Lambert and Sean Connery, and it will expand its legacy next year as a comic book miniseries from IDW Publishing. Scottish fantasy writer Brian Ruckley will spin a new tale chronicling the events that led up to the opening of that classic 1986 feature film, while casting new light on the battle between immortals throughout time. In the 30 years since its release, Highlander, the movie, garnered quite a cult following that still craves new stories based on the original film, and while many publishers have tried to varying degrees of success, maybe this time will be different. Artist Andrea Muddy of the series Rebels will join Brian Ruckley to explore Connor McLeod's journey, both physical and internal, that led him to become humanity's immortal champion. From medieval Scotland to Civil War era Pennsylvania to mid-century Manhattan, readers will meet compelling new characters such as immortal Asta Vasilic and revisit fan favorites. The battle for the prize begins anew in February. Check it out for yourself on page 156 of this month's previews. Again, I'm still in the IDW section, this time on page 180. And this is a brand new publication from Marvel and IDW Publishing. It's Star Wars, the Classic Newspaper Comics, Volume 1 of what will ultimately be a three-volume series. The title promises, at last, to collect the complete 1979 to 1984 newspaper strip of classic Star Wars, both dailies and Sunday panels. During the late 70s and early 80s, the LA Times Syndicate published a daily newspaper strip based on Star Wars, and it was glorious, written first by Russ Manning and later by Archie Goodwin and even Steve Gerber. The series was richly illustrated, hilariously written, and eminently worthy of the Star Wars brand name. This first of three volumes that will present for the first time ever the classic Star Wars newspaper strip from 79 to 84 in its complete format, including those Sunday title headers and bonus panels in meticulously restored original color, is coming next year in March. Initially, the color Sundays and black and white dailies told separate stories, but within 6 months, the incomparable Russ Manning merged the adventures to tell brand new epic 7 days a week sagas that rivaled the best science fiction comics of all time and featured outstanding artwork by the late great Al Williamson. Volume 1 contains 575 sequential comic strips from the strip's premiere on March 11, 1979 until October 5, 1980. And knowing how IDW handles these strip collections, this will be glorious. I've got their Amazing Spider-Man strips, and it just put Marvel's attempt at collecting those strips to shame. IDW knows what they're doing. Check it out for yourself. Again, it's on page 180 of this month's previews.
Hi everyone, this is Todd Cassell from Phoenix, Arizona. With my first pick, it's in the IDW section, page 181, and it's Jack Kirby, Forever People, Artist Edition, Hardcover. Yep, there I go again. It's Todd Cassell from Phoenix, Arizona, and it's the 70s, and it's Jack Kirby. Get over it, Todd. Come on, you're no longer a kid. Well, I'm sorry, 70s is always going to get me. Jack Kirby is always going to get me an Artist Edition. Oofah. So anyway, the solicit says on this, continuing IDW's year-long celebration of the centennial of Jack King Kirby's birth, Jack Kirby's classic Fourth World epic told the story of a group of new gods sent to Earth to oppose Darkseid, Featuring Beautiful Dreamer, Big Bear, Moon Rider, and others, this was Kirby's take on superpowered flower children. Included in this volume, issues 1, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, with nearly all pages scanned from the originals, presented in IDW's award-winning artist edition format, the next best thing to owning the original art. It's 144 pages. It is huge. It is $125. It's a pretty penny. Try to see if you can find it on a discount. But anyway, these are really great. This is when Jack Kirby first left Marvel for DC. He did a number of series, Mr. Miracle and Jimmy Olsen and the Forever People. And this was just one wonky series, but it's just such juicy artwork. And that's the point of these artist edition, is just to glom onto that artwork. And I love them. And I think Kirby is great. And if you feel like there's not enough 70s in this podcast, don't worry. I'll come up with something else soon.
Hey, guys. This is Michael with my first pick in the December previews for everything releasing in February. It's coming from Image Comics, page 188. The Old Guard, number one. It is previews gem of the month. And it will be coming out February 22nd. It's going to be 40 pages, retail for $3.99. And the story is by Greg Rucka, who you may or may not know, is currently writing Lazarus and Wonder Woman. And it's coming from also a critically acclaimed artist, Leandro Fernandez, who has been an artist on Deadpool and Punisher Max series. They are going to introduce the Old Guard, the story of old soldiers who never die and yet cannot seem to fade away. Trapped in an immortality without explanation, Andromache of Scythia, Andy, and her comrades ply their trade for those who can find and afford their services. But in the 21st century, immortality is a hard secret to keep, and when you live long enough, you learn that there are many fates worse than death. On page 188, they have what looks like is going to be the cover, pretty awesome image. It looks like some kind of battle axe that the soldier has, and kind of a stark cover, and also some interior art page right next to it. It looks pretty awesome. I really trust that Greg Rucka is going to be writing this. It's going to be good because he is great at world building. If you don't believe me, just check out Lazarus. There is so much thought that goes into every single issue, and the way he puts story arcs together and puts worlds together that you know it's going to be good. And definitely want everybody to check this out. At least give it a story arc to see if you like it. May or may not be to your liking, but Rucka definitely has a really amazing way of telling the story and telling it in a way that makes sense. And the back matter at the end of each issue is pretty awesome. And definitely want to check this one out. It's coming out February 22nd, and it's the Old Guard number one.
This is Dr. Mo with my final pick for the preview spotlight episode, The Old Guard Number 1 from Image Comics, written by Greg Rucka, with art provided by Leandro Fernandez. Eisner-winning writer Greg Rucka and critically acclaimed artist Leandro Fernandez team up together to introduce The Old Guard, the story of old soldiers who never die and yet cannot seem to fade away. Trapped in an immortality without explanation, Andromache of Scythia and her comrades ply their trade for those who can find and afford their services. But in the 21st century, immortality is a hard secret to keep, and when you live long enough, you learn that there are many fates worse than death. Greg Rucka has always been able to cast a spell upon me that compels me to at least sample a title that he writes. That doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to buy it for the long haul, but he certainly helps get me to make that initial sale. The artist on The Old Guard, Leandro Fernandez, is not. I am familiar with Greg Rucka's collaborator on The Old Guard, Leandro Fernandez. They previously worked together on an arc of Rucka's Queen and Country back in the 2000s. At the time, I thought Leandro's faces were too angular. I thought chin could be used as a weapon. Fast forward over 10 years, and I'm now mesmerized by Fernandez's preview pages for The Old Guard. His work invokes Tim Sale and Frank Miller's Sin City. The pointy faces are still there, but it doesn't seem to bother me. I am committed to sampling at least the first two issues based on Rucka's pedigree alone. If you are a fan of Greg Rucka, I suggest that you should give this book a shot. Based on the solicitation text, The Old Guard contains many of Rucka's stock and trade elements. Strong women, mortality, and espionage. Old Guard number 1 is 40 pages and can be yours for $3.99. It is located on page 188 of Previews.
Hey guys, it's Drew with Pick from Image on page 192 and 193. It is the 25-cent issues of The Walking Dead 163, Invincible 133, and Outcast 25. In celebration of Image's 25th anniversary, all those comics are a quarter. So, dark little secret, I always buy 3 copies of Walking Dead anyway. One to read, one to bag and board, and one to sell. So I'm always buying multiple copies anyway, and now I'm going to go crazy. I think I'm going to buy 10 copies at a quarter. So I know that sounds weird, but at a quarter, I think I'm going to buy 10 copies of this. I know it's odd, but I don't care. It's the new story arc Conquered, and it's exciting, and I am looking forward to reading it, and it's a quarter. Invincible's a quarter. Got to buy a couple of those, and Outcast is a quarter, so you better buy a couple of those. So, you know, for less than a cup of coffee, you can buy 3 comics. That's pretty darn good. Check these out. Read their solicits on page 192 and 193. Don't read their solicits. It's a quarter. Just buy them all. Let's help celebrate the 25th anniversary of Image by pushing all 3 of these books to the top 10 of the sales charts. Buy early, buy often.
Billy Hogan again. My 8th pick in the December previews comes in the Image Comics section on page 193 with Invincible number 133, The End of All Things, Part 1. Ryan Utley returns as The End of All Things begins. This 12-part megastory will touch every corner of the Invincible universe, and when it's over, it's over. Every single story for the past 13 years has been leading up to this. Only 25 cents. Also, holy crap, this issue is 25 cents to celebrate the 25th anniversary of Image Comics from the Skybound imprint. Story Robert Kirkman, art and cover by Ryan Otley and Nathan Fairbairn. This issue will be released on February 15th, 32 pages for the cover price of, as like I said before, 25 cents. And I had to look online to see when was the last time a new issue was regularly 25 cents, and that was back in 1974 and 1975. Whoa. It went up to 35 cents the next year, back when I was a teenager. Invincible, once in a while, has put out a 25-cent issue as a way to get new readers to catch up to speed a little bit on what's gone on before and to jump on, and I've been reading it ever since. Hopefully, I plan on getting the trade paperbacks so I can have the entire run of the series. I have the first 3 trades, so I've got a few more to go before I'll have a complete run. I'm going to be sad when this series ends. It's a lot like Astro City in that it looks at the superhero genre in ways that Marvel or DC can't or won't. And I haven't read a bad issue, which there's not that many series I can say about that. Astro City, anything but Terry Moore. So I'm looking forward to what Robert Kirkman and crew have for Mark Grayson and all of his friends. If you've read a lot of Invincible, then you see that Robert Kirkman is not afraid to do anything at all with these characters in ways that you usually don't see in your standard superhero title. Because Marvel and DC have to market their heroes not just for the comic books, but for movies and other media. So I'm looking forward to seeing how Robert Kirkman and the creators in Invincible. Back to you, John.
This is Tucker Self from Phoenix, Arizona, with my next pick. It's on page 196 and 197 of the Image section, and it's The Belfry One-Shot. Solicit reads, an all-new horror one-shot from Gabriel Hardman. When an airliner crashes in a remote jungle, everyone walks away unscathed, only to find you can't escape the lush, brutal world of the Belfry. From Logan storyboard artist and Hugo Award-nominated writer artist Gabriel Hardman, who's also done Invisible Republic, Kinski, Star Wars Legacy, by the way, some really great Planet of the Apes stuff too a few years ago, The Belfry is a self-contained one-shot that may just strip you of your humanity. This is a 32-page one-shot for $3.99, and just look at that cover on page 196. I saw that image on Twitter a few times. People had been retweeting it from Gabriel Hardman's Twitter account, and it's just so cool. This giant bat woman creature sitting on a skull looking at her reflection, but the skull, the bottom half of the skull is below water, and I don't need to explain it. It's just, try to find this image even if you're not going to get this book. It's just a one shot. Give it a shot. I think Gabriel does some fine art, and he's even a good writer as well. With his wife, he's got The Invisible Republic, if you follow that series. That's a futuristic political intrigue with great Gabriel Hardman art. He does a lot of storyboarding, just like the solicit said, for Hollywood, and you can see why. Great action artist, great artist, and that's what makes this one-shot something that I'm looking forward to.
Aloha, guys. This is Jason from Hawaii. I'm here at Dragon's Lairs in Hawaii with my pick from the Image section on page 201. It's Paper Girls number 11. This is the start of a brand new story arc. The solicit reads, a bold new storyline starts here. The Eisner and Harvey award-winning best new series from Brian K. Vaughan and Cliff Chiang returns as Erin, Mac, and Tiffany finally reunite with their long-lost friend KJ, only to encounter some horrifying new threats in an unexpected era. Now, you know, I'm already got this on my pull list here at Dragon's Lairs, and I can't wait for this new arc to start. The last story arc from issues 5 to 10, it was really great. It really emotionally drew me into the storyline, and I just cannot wait to see where Brian K. Vaughan takes these group of four paper girls in this next story arc. You know, again, Paper Girls to me is like Stand By Me meets the Twilight Zone. So if you guys get a chance, pick up Paper Girls number 11. Again, like I said, I have this on my pull list here at Dragon's Lairs. Thank you for listening. Back to you, John.
Hi, this is Tucker from Phoenix, Arizona, with my next pick. It's on page 202 of the Image section, and it is Revival number 47. It all ends here. M. Cypress is the link between the land of the dead and the world of the living, and she must decide the future of humanity, if her sister Dana will let her. Last issue of the acclaimed series. Don't miss it. Story is by Tim Seeley. Art is by Mike Norton. The cover is by Jenny Frisson, and it's a $3.99 book. And it's the end of a series, just like it says. Revival has been going on for a few years now. It's really been an intriguing book. I just love Mike Norton's relatively simple artwork. He doesn't try to get too complex, which is why he can draw a lot of stuff, like the old days of artists, where he probably can do multiple books in a month. But what's really unique about Revival, it is telling one long story. There is a lot of mystery. It's ending at number 47, and you don't always know exactly what has happened. You know all the answers are probably going to come in number 47, though a lot of answers have already been given. And that's the kind of book that typically would turn me off. Give me a few mysteries, and I'm out.
But in this case, it's just held my interest. The characters have held my interest. And what's really great is that they're ending it when they feel like ending it. Issue 47, I mean, they're not pushing it to issue 50. They're not going the old Vertigo route of issue 60. They've decided they've told the tale. Issue 47 is the end of the tale. And that's a wrap. And so I expect this will be a very good issue. And I expect when all is said and done, it'll be a nice long series that people can enjoy for years.
Hey guys, this is Michael with another pick in the December previews. This time is going to be on page 203, coming from Image Comics. Sex Criminals number 16. Yes, yes, yes. Sex Criminals is back. Full sex, deep crime, big floppy 16th issue. In case you can't tell, I'm super excited. The series is back. It is written by Matt Fraction, art and cover by Chip Zdarsky, going to be released February 15th, 32 pages, $3.99 cover price. I believe it's been almost a year since an issue of this has come out. I know they were taking a break from it for a while. Honestly, did not think they were going to bring it back, because I do know that they have been developing it or currently developing it to try to get it on TV. And so I think that was their focus this past year in developing it to try to shop it around to different TV networks. But I am super excited this series is back. I really enjoyed this series immensely. And actually, it's really awesome to get it issue to issue because the letters, pages in the backs are just awesome. And this series has been so great. But honestly, I think I may actually order the hardcover and kind of, or just break out my individual issues and just revisit it. But I probably might be easier just to get the hardcover and revisit the entire story before this comes out, because I honestly cannot even remember. Like I said, I think it's been a year since it has come out, so going to have to refresh my memory on it, but I can't wait. It's going to come back next February. Pretty excited about it. I also want to mention that the great Fiona Staples is going to do the XXX B cover. So she, of course, draws for Saga, so that should be pretty cool to check out. And hope you guys are excited about it as I am. Sex Criminals number 16, it is back. New story art, released in February 15th, $3.99. Check it out. Hey guys, this is Michael, back with another pick on page 212 in Image Comics again. This is Manifest Destiny number 26. Can't say enough about this series. I just love it so much. They start a new story arc, in January with the 25th issue. So definitely getting that and obviously looking forward to this. Story by Chris Dinges, art and cover, Matthew Roberts, Owen Nieni. So, the cover art, of course, is just absolutely gorgeous. You check it out. It looks like, one of our, compatriots, in the core of Discovery is being enveloped, and it looks really, really bad for our companions along their journey. The Solicit goes behind their fortified walls. The core of Discovery turns against each other as the American Dream goes mad. Just really love this series. Can't say enough about it. Hope everybody's going to check it out. I do think the sales on this should be higher, but you know, kind of is what it is. It is an absolutely great book. If you're into any kind of historical fiction, this would be right up your alley. So check it out. It's page 212, Manifest Destiny number 26, coming out February 15th, 32 pages. Thanks.
My next pick is on page 98 of the Marvel previews, and it is Darth Maul number 1 of 5. This is written by Colin Bum. We've got Luke Ross on the art. And, I mean, Darth Maul didn't get a whole lot of screen time in the prequel movies, but he did seem like a very interesting character that had to have some kind of cool backstory. And here's where we're going to get that backstory. So I've been really enjoying what Marvel's been doing with the Star Wars property. I think they've been doing some just great stuff with some excellent creators. I'm sure this will be more of the same. So I'm looking forward to it. Once again, that is Darth Maul number 1 of 5 on page 98 of the Marvel previews. It is a comic book page pick of the month. We've got a 50% discount on it through DCBS, so check it out.
Hi, Todd Cassell, Phoenix, Arizona again with my next pick. It's in the Marvel section. It is on page 112, and it is The Deadly Hands of Kung Fu Omnibus, Volume 2. Yes, it's the 70s, and it's Todd Cassell. But heck, I talked about Deadly Hands of Kung Fu Omnibus, Volume 1 a number of months ago on this show, and I received the book about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, and it's exactly what I expected. It is cool. If anyone knows what this is, it was the black and white series that Marvel used to put out a few of back in the 70s, and in this case, it was more than just the comics in black and white, but it was also articles, and whether in this case it was about the Kung Fu craze, the movies, it was about teaching you how to do different versions of Asian martial arts, and what I was worried about when they finally did a collection of this was that they would just focus on the comics and say, to heck with the articles, but nope. This volume one came in. It is beautiful. It's probably one of, if not my favorite Marvel omnibus, and I own a ton of them. Probably any of these big, huge, kill them by dropping it on their heads books. It's definitely top one and two. I love this for that volume one. I haven't even started reading it, and I know I love it. And now volume two is coming out, and this is going to be great. Just real quickly, stories are written by Chris Claremont, Bill Mantlo, Doug Mensch, John Warner, many more, penciled by Rudy Nebres, George Perez, Marshall Rogers, some Gil Kane, Keith Giffen, Tony DeZuniga, Pat Broderick, Ron Wilson. It's got a lot of great stuff. I'm not going to read the blurb because I've gone on too long, but go ahead and read it. These books are really great. And yes, they're expensive. Get it at a discount. But Deadly Hands of Kung Fu, Volume 2. I'm going to go read Volume 1 right now so that I can be ready for it.
This is Jerry once again. And now I've turned my attention to the Marvel Previews catalog. I'm on page 130 in the Marvel's insert. And it is Excalibur Epic Collection. The Sword is Drawn, trade paperback, volume 1 in the Excalibur Epic Collections. Written by Chris Claremont, Alan Davis, Michael Higgins, and more. Penciled by Herb Trimpe, Alan Davis, Ron Lim, Marshall Rogers, Arthur Adams, and Eric Larson, with a cover by Alan Davis. Well, I don't know about you, but boy, oh boy, that's pretty impressive to me. Those are some big, big names. Guys that, a lot of guys that I really think are great creators there. And this is a 496 page epic collection. It's the first Excalibur epic collection. The cover price is $39.99. I'm sure through DCBS as a Marvel trade, you're going to get this for about half of that. So if you're talking $20 for 500 pages of some classic Excalibur comics, that is hard to pass up. And let me read the solicit. A legendary team is born. Meet the United Kingdom's champion, Captain Britain, and his paramour, the metamorphic Megan. They'll band together with former X-Men Nightcrawler and Kitty Pryde when Gatecrasher and her TechNet are sent to capture Rachel Phoenix Summers. From their lighthouse base, the heroes of Excalibur will tackle the ferocious Warwolves, the unstoppable Juggernaut, and Mojo Mayhem. Things get wild with Arcade, the Crazy Gang, and the X-Babies, and really heat up as Excalibur is drawn across the Atlantic to an inferno raging in New York. And don't forget Lightning Squad, the alternate Nazi versions of Excalibur. Plus, who or what is Widget? This collects Captain Britain from 1976, number 1 and 2, Excalibur 1988 series 1 through 11, Special Edition, and Mojo Mayhem, and material from Marvel Comics Presents, the 1988 series, numbers 31 through 38, and Mighty World of Marvel from 1983, issues 7 and 14 and 15. For those of you who may have not been reading comics at the time or missed out on this, I'm here to tell you, Excalibur is great stuff. This early stuff is basically, I think of Chris Claremont and Alan Davis for the most part. That's what comes to my mind when I look back on this. This run, this includes those first 11 issues from the Excalibur series that those guys did, is absolutely classic stuff. It's great. I mean, if you like the X-Men, this is like classic X-Men stuff. It's like the deep cuts. This is the album cuts version of X-Men. Excalibur, it was really fun. It was the United Kingdom's X-Men. And Kitty Pryde and Nightcrawler, Captain Britain, Megan. It's great classic comic book stories with beautiful art. And it's overlooked by a lot of people. So if you missed out on this the first time around years ago, this may be, for this kind of price, it's hard to pass up. This may be a time to check out something that you didn't realize you needed in your life. But once you do, you may realize you did. And you can thank me for it. But it's a highly recommended, outstanding comic book, great price, great creative teams, Excalibur Epic Collection number one. Check it out. Thanks, guys. Hi, guys. This is Jerry, and I'm on page 250 in the previews catalog in the Action Lab section, and I'm looking at Athena Voltaire and the Volcano Goddess trade paperback. And the solicit reads, "Collecting the fan-favorite pulp heroine's Action Lab debut miniseries, when her father gains possession of a supernatural artifact, Athena Voltaire sets off on an adventure that pits her against Nazis, deadly assassins, an old nemesis, and an angry fire goddess. Written and drawn by Eisner and Manning Award-nominated creator Steve Bryant. 96 pages, full color, $9.99. So far, I've read the first issue of this series. I believe that's all that's been released, but it's highly enjoyable. And for anyone who is unfamiliar with Athena Voltaire, this is a webcomic that Steve Bryant has been doing for quite some time along the lines of Atomic Robo, that kind of a thing. And then it was coming to print with Dark Horse, and now it's moved over to Action Lab. And also on the same page, along in the same box, they're offering again the Athena Voltaire Compendium hardcover, 228 pages, $19.99. I actually own that hardcover, and this is coming out from Action Lab. The cover is the same as the one that I have. Mine came out from Dark Horse, and I'm going to read an excerpt from the introduction by Tim Seeley, just one little paragraph here that's a great description of the book. Starring a raven-haired aviatrix daughter of a world-famous magician who battles Nazis and supernatural horrors in the 1930s, Athena is pretty much the epitome of everything comics do so well. It's bright and action-packed. It's lush, intelligent, and exciting. It's a globe-trotting adventure, a manly, pulp-inspired tale starring a gorgeous woman who doesn't take any nonsense and doesn't need a man. Unlike film or television, it never has to sacrifice ideas or exotic locales because Athena Voltaire has an unlimited budget, constrained only by Steve Bryant's vivid imagination. Well, I would recommend the hardcover. As I said, I already own that and have read it, and it's great stuff. And the Volcano Goddess trade paperback that is the new release, I'm sure it will be great too. The first issue was excellent. For anyone who is a fan of Indiana Jones, The Rocketeer, any of the pulpy 1930s style action where they're fighting Nazis, and the old Bring 'em Back Alive television series with Bruce Boxleitner, or Tales of the Gold Monkey with Stephen Collins, any of that kind of action, Athena Voltaire and the Volcano Goddess trade paperback from Action Lab Comics might just be for you. I think you should check it out. You don't know what you're missing. Thanks. For my next pick, I'm turned over to page 252 in the catalog, still in the Action Lab section. This is in the Action Lab Danger Zone, the more mature titles that they put out. And Action Lab has been putting out some pretty good books. I don't know how many of you have tried some of their titles. They're, of course, varying levels of enjoyability that I get out of their titles, but there's been quite a few series that they've put out that I've enjoyed quite a bit. And the next one I want to look at on page 252 is a new number one. It's called Infinite Seven. It's a new ongoing series written by Dave Duanch, and the artists are Arturo Mesa and Geraldo Filho. And the solicit reads, For centuries, a secret world government has employed the Infinite Seven, the world's greatest assassins, to do their dirty work. The only way to become one of their members is to prove your worth by killing one of their members. But what happens when Anthony Zane, a teenage boy from the suburbs, does just that? Action hero archetypes are reimagined in what is sure to be the blockbuster series of the year. Well, I don't know if it's going to be the blockbuster series of the year, but when I read the solicit and looked at the covers and the preview pages that they show here, I was intrigued enough that I'm going to order it. 32 pages, full color, $3.99 cover price, supposedly an ongoing series. I'd never heard of it before. I haven't read any write-ups about it, but it just looks good. I think the premise sounds interesting. It's worth a shot. So there you go. Infinite Seven, number one, from Action Lab, Danger Zone.
Infinite Seven, number one, from Action Labs also caught my eye there on page 252. It's a comic book page pick of the month. We've got a 50% discount on it through DCBS. It looks like kind of a fun mashup of kind of the blockbuster spy film kind of a genre and archetypes. So I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, check it out.
Hi, this is Jerry, and for my next selection, I'm still on page 252 in the catalog. I'm still in the Action Lab Danger Zone, and contrary to what you may be thinking, I am not on the payroll at Action Lab. It just so happens that this month there were several entries in their portion of the catalog that caught my eye, and I wanted to shine a little spotlight. I read mainly Marvel and DC, mainly mainstream stuff like most people, but I do read a lot of oddball stuff, indie stuff. I do a lot of research and dig into things that might interest me and find some gems along the way. This week at my comic book store, I picked up The Circle number one from Action Lab, and the premise sounded interesting, and I gave it a shot, and I liked it. It didn't blow my mind, but it's a five-issue miniseries, and I enjoyed the first issue enough that I would like to continue to read the series. So this month, The Circle number three is solicited, and the solicit reads, "The ritual has begun with the spilling of blood, and Christian's soul is cursed forever. Unless he can do the only thing that can reverse the ritual, Christian must kill all of his friends." This is written by Damon Clark, and the artist is Eliza Zerno. And the basic premise of the story was that Christian is a young teenage boy who just recently lost his mother to seems to be like a long illness. She passes away, and him and his father move to a new town. His dad gets a new job, and his dad seems like a good guy. Christian seems like a good kid, and they're just trying to start a new life in a new town. Christian's the new kid in school. He begins to get bullied. He tries out for the school basketball team, and then he's befriended by some kids that help him up after he gets beaten up by these bullies. And there's a group of kids that befriend him, and the first issue ends in a way that I'm not going to spoil, but you wonder what's going to happen next. Are his new friends, are they good guys? Are they bad guys? What is going on in this small town? I believe it's called Shell's Bay. What is the mystery of Shell's Bay? There's more than meets the eye. And no, I'm not intimating there's a Transformers crossover. It's just there's something going on, and you have to read on to find out what it is. Now, the artwork is it's a painted art style. And it's not my favorite art style. I prefer kind of just a traditional clean line comic art. And this is a painted style, and it's almost like a surreal, wavy style of, I don't know, it's almost like a dreamy the way it comes across. And it's not my favorite, but it's just fine for this story. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just not my personal preference, but it's serviceable. It gets the job done. And I really enjoyed the first issue. So I would recommend, it's probably still sitting on the shelf at your local comic store. If they order any Action Lab, you might be able to get it on a reorder from them. It's The Circle, and The Circle number three from Action Lab Danger Zone Comics. Try something different this month. Give it a shot.
Hey
Hey guys, it's Drew with a pick from Aftershock on page 254 of the back half of previews. It is Rough Riders Book 2, Number 1 from Adam Glass and Patrick Olef. It's a $3.99 book, 32 pages from Aftershock, and I love the first volume. I thought it was really great, really fresh stuff, and this looks to be more of the same. Great jumping on point. 3 years have passed since the Rough Riders' last adventure, but when an assassin's bullet takes President William McKinley's life, Vice President Teddy Roosevelt is thrust into the role of Commander-in-Chief. As a country mourns the loss of their leader, Roosevelt believes that the assassin is part of a larger conspiracy, one whose tentacles reach back to Europe and whose intentions are to destroy humanity through worldwide anarchy. So it's time to get the gang back together again, what's left of them, after Volume 1, and we'll see what happens. Hopefully it's just as much fun as the first one. So check that out on page 254 of previews from Aftershock.
Aloha, guys. This is Jason. I'm here at Dragon's Lair with my next pick from the Aftershock section on page 254. It's Rough Riders Book 2, Number 1, written by Adam Glass, art by Patrick Olef. You know, this is a great jumping on point for new readers. This is a very good series. You know, what I've read so far, you know, I really like. So if you guys get a chance, pick up Rough Riders Book 2, Number 1. I already have it here on my pull list at Dragon's Lair. Thank you for listening. Back to you, John.
Hey guys, this is Michael back with another pick in this month's December previews. It's going to be in the back part of the catalog, page 255 from Aftershock Comics. This is going to be Animosity number 6. Writer Marguerite Bennett, artist Rafael De La Torre. It's going to be $3.99, 32 pages. When Jessie is abducted by human Sandor, her faithful and protective bloodhound will cut a swath of blood and bone through everything that stands in his path to find and rescue his beloved friend. From the writer of Insects, Bombshells, and A-Force, and the artist of Super Zero. Aftershock is putting out a lot of really good stuff right now, and a lot of the stuff they're putting out is by some big name creators and coming out on time. And I've really enjoyed a lot of their stuff. It's definitely different and even kind of the same vein as kind of the stuff that's come out from Image, but even more different than that. They tackle tons and tons of different genres. And I really enjoyed this series so far. They have not had a first volume come out yet. So, each issue has had such a small print run that it's sold out immediately, and you've had to go to the secondary market to like eBay and others to get a copy of it. So if you're interested in this series, I would definitely say to pre-order through DCBS or your local comic book shop, because otherwise they're probably not going to get it in. Especially with the, all the stuff that comes out from DC and Marvel, that they're the big two and they dominate the sales. So there's kind of not too much room for a lot of retailers to keep stuff like this on their shelves because it's not part of the big two. So if you want to get this, definitely pre-order it. So put little guys like these on the map, and the more guys that people that pre-order it, the more you know, it'll be on the shelves, so get the exposure it needs. So this is just a really great story so far. Looking forward to this. It's going to be $3.99, 32 pages. Obviously a mature reader title, as you can tell by the solicit. So, but it's been a really good story so far. If you're into any kind of post-apocalyptic story, I would definitely say check this out. It's a new twist on the genre, and I've really enjoyed it so far. So check it out.
Hey guys, it's the Brawlinator, and my next pick in this month's previews is in the back half of the previews catalog. It's on page 265, and it surprised me when I saw it. Jim Shooter at American Mythology? You bet. The legendary comics writer joins creator writer J.C. Vaughn, who you may know from Zombie Proof or Vampire, along with newcomer writer-artist James Nelms and cover artist Mark Wheatley for a new take on the classic horror anthology, Bedtime Stories for Impressionable Children, number one. Shooter was a world-famous editor-in-chief at Marvel. He was the writer of the original Secret Wars groundbreaking limited series and the founder of both Valiant Entertainment and Defiant Comics. Jim Shooter returns to comics in February 2017, writing for this new horror anthology series. It's published by American Mythology, as I said, and Bedtime Stories features several creators, including Joe James. I think it was Moonstone Books back in 2010 who came out with a similar anthology series under the same name, but certainly not with this pedigree. Check it out yourself. It's over on page 265 of this month's previews. Bedtime Stories for Impressionable Children, number one. Hey, it's the Brawlinator again. I'm on page 294 and 295 of the December previews. 2016 has been a very wild year for interesting comic book property crossovers. But if this next series is any indication, 2017 is looking to be even more interesting. My next pick is from Boom Studios, and it's on page 294. Like I said, it's the debut of Planet of the Apes Green Lantern, a joint effort between Boom Studios and DC Comics that brings the heroes of the Green Lantern Corps to a post-apocalyptic world where apes reign supreme. Planet of the Apes Green Lantern is a six-issue miniseries co-written by Robbie Thompson of Marvel's Silk series and Justin Jordan of Green Lantern New Guardians. The series will be drawn by Barnaby Bagenda, who you may know from the Omega Men. The solicit reads, when Taylor goes missing, Cornelius investigates and discovers an ancient ring unlike anything he's ever seen. As its power echoes through the stars, the Guardians of the Universe must reveal to their lanterns a secret they had hoped would remain buried. With the Green Lantern Corps, led by Hal Jordan, racing to get to the source of this power before Sinestro can get his hands on it, they will discover a truth that will change them forever on the Planet of the Apes. Or at least will change them forever in this series, and perhaps if it gets a sequel if we all buy enough copies of it. These crossovers are a great way to read most of these properties because they just aren't tied down by continuity, and the Green Lantern Star Trek crossover they just did was a lot of fun. I actually think the Green Lantern franchise lends itself well to crossing over with popular sci-fi properties. Did anyone else ever read the Green Lantern Silver Surfer crossover? Oh yeah. Listen, I'm in. Check it out for yourself. Again, it's on pages 294 and 295 of this month's previews.
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape!
I, too, am really looking forward to Planet of the Apes Green Lantern crossover from Boom Studios there on page 294. It looks like a lot of fun. The different covers they have on page 295 there are pretty cool. I like the action figure one, actually, but all of them are really nice. And it just shows how easy it is to kind of blend these two properties and stuff. Like Brawlinator said, should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. This is also a comic book page pick of the month. 50% discount through DCBS, so check it out.
Turn with me now to pages 296 and 297. My next pick is still in the Boom section. It's The Power of the Dark Crystal, number one. Around 2005, plans were announced to make a sequel to The Dark Crystal, which was Jim Henson's acclaimed 1982 film. Years went by and the project fell apart, but now that sequel has finally found its footing in the form of a new comic book limited series. The Power of the Dark Crystal will consist of 12 issues, which Cy Spurrier adapted from the original unproduced sequel screenplay by David Adel, Annette Adel, and Craig Pierce. This new comic series is set decades after the events of the 1982 film, with Jen and Kira distracted by the pressures of ruling Thra and no longer in touch with the needs of the people. which provokes a fireling called Therma to set out to steal a shard of the Dark Crystal, which she intends to restore power to her realm. Unfortunately, her mission might also restore the Skeksis as well. Back in 05, when the Jim Henson Company first announced plans to develop a sequel to the original movie, Jindy Tartakovsky and Brian Froud were attached to the project at various times throughout the process. And as recently as 2014, that film project was still being discussed as being in active development. When this new series was announced, Lisa Henson, daughter of Jim Henson and president and CEO of the Jim Henson Company, said that the creativity that went into writing and designing the feature film was such that we wanted our fans to be able to see and enjoy it now through this comic series. We are very proud of the story that the screenwriters created, and our partners at Arkea and Boom Studios are the only people we would trust to expand and illustrate the story. We are thrilled that it will soon see the light of day. The Power of the Dark Crystal number 1 will be released in February, launching a celebration for the movie's 35th anniversary. Now, if you've never seen the Dark Crystal movie, or if you saw it and you were just kind of meh, not for me, then this probably isn't for you. But fans of the Jim Henson properties, and definitely fans of the original film, should check this out. Again, it's over on pages 296 and 297 of this month's previews.
This is another case where Brawlinator and I are kind of in lockstep in terms of our taste this month. Jim Henson's The Power of the Dark Crystal number 1 of 12 was also a comic book page pick of the month. Brawlinator did a great job explaining why it's such a cool property and such. I've got a ton of respect for Jim Henson and just the influence he's had on society and special effects and whatnot during his lifetime. And seeing the world of the Dark Crystal and stuff further explored and stuff just sounds like a lot of fun. So once again, that is the Jim Henson's The Power of the Dark Crystal number 1 of 12 on page 296. It's comic book page pick of the month, so check it out.
Turn the page with me now. I'm still in the Boom Studios section, now on page 298 of the previews catalog, and this next pick is called Death Be Damned number 1. It's written by Ben Acker, Ben Blacker, and Andrew Miller, with exceptional art by Hannah Christensen. This tells the story of Miranda Kohler, who has witnessed 7 outlaws that killed her and her family, but her death turned out to be a little less permanent than they expected. She's been blessed with the inability to fully die until she exacts revenge on her family's killers, but cursed to lose a part of her memories every time she is killed. Miranda will need the help of Joseph Murray, an undertaker who has been dabbling in necromancy in the hopes to bring back his deceased wife, but he may be Miranda's only hope if she's ever to find peace. Sounds like an interesting blend between the Western genre and the supernatural. The artist here is Hannah Christensen, and she is also the artist from Jim Henson's The Storyteller, Dragons, and Harrow County. She does tremendous work. The subject matter may be a little out there or unsavory for some of our more discerning or squeamish comic book aficionados, but I think I will give it a shot. Check it out for yourself. It's on page 298 of this month's previews.
Hey guys, it's Drew with a pick from Boom Studios. It is Slam number 4 on page 305 of the previews catalog. It is written by Pamela Ribbon with art by Veronica Fish. And this is $3.99 book, 32 pages. And this is, the first issue was really great. It's about roller derby, not something that I normally think is of interest to me. But it was written and drawn in such a way that I was I loved it. I loved that first issue. So I'm assuming it's going to continue to be that great. So put this on your pull list and try to find those early issues if you can. It's Slam number 4 from Boom Studios on page 305 of previews.
My last pick of the month is on page 305 from Boom Studios. It's Joyride number 10. Now, this is about a bunch of teenagers thereabouts who have stolen a spaceship and are basically having adventures in the galaxy and whatnot. Science fiction setting. Again, most of the characters are younger, but they've got an older alien, the ship AI and stuff like that. along with them. And they've been telling some fun stories, not, you know, earth-shattering or anything of the sort, but kind of a mix of coming of age and kind of a Star Wars light-ish sort of a thing. And what they do here in Joyride number 10 is they move the story forward a year. So the status quo has changed a bit. One of the characters is kind of walking his own path and, you know, trying to find his way in the world or whatever. And it's just been a fun series. It looks like this should be a good jumping on point for new readers and stuff. If you're looking for kind of a light sci-fi sort of a thing, you may want to check this out. Like I said, it is Joyride number 10 on page 305 from Boom Studios. It's a comic book page pick of the month, so we got a 50% discount on it through DCBS.
Billy Hogan again. My ninth and final pick in the December 2016 previews comes on page 350 in the Fantagraphics books section with Love and Rockets, the magazine, number 2, by Gilbert and Jamie Hernandez. $4.99, 36 pages, and it's a magazine size 8.5 by 10. The second issue of Love and Rockets picks right up from issue number 1. Over on Jamie's side, it's La Llorona's turn to hit the stage at the punk rock reunion, and the Helmets are closing in on Princess Animus. Is Hopi ready? Is Isla ready? Are you ready? On Gilbert's side, Fritz and her twin daughters meet, making Fritz crazier than ever, while Pippo and her new squeeze visit the mysterious Dr. Immel in prison in an effort to learn just what his secret cosmetic treatment actually is. Also available is the Love and Rockets magazine number 1, which I ordered, and I'm glad I did. Oh, felt a little bit like I was in the middle of a story, but it's not a bad thing because I was drawn into the story, so the fact that there are things about these characters I don't know makes me want to go back and get the reprints of the older series. So if you like independent comic books, and especially if you're fans of the Love and Rocket series in the past, I would recommend you pick up this second issue. Back to you, John, and thanks for providing this forum where we can all share our love and excitement for the comic book genre. I want to wish everyone a happy and safe holiday season with family and friends.
Brawlinator again. This will be my final selection this month. It's way back in the back of the previews catalog, the back of the book section. It's from Oni Press. It's on page 375. It's part of the new Square One program, which is allowing retailers to introduce new readers to the best of Oni Press with specially priced first issues and volumes. Now, kicking off this new program, Oni Press is offering several first issues at only $1 a piece and 2 first trade volumes at $10 each. Now, there are several comics here that you want to check out, so get into the Oni Press section, flip around, and you know you've heard some of these titles. If you've never collected any of these, you might consider one of these number one issues that are out for $1. But the trade paperback I want to discuss is on page 375, and it's Letter 44. This is a really top-shelf story for fans of sci-fi, so let me read the solicitation. On Inauguration Day, newly elected President Stephen Blades hoped to tackle the most critical issues facing the nation: war, the economy, and a failing healthcare system. But in a letter penned by the outgoing president, Blades learns the truth that redefines critical. 7 years ago, NASA discovered an alien presence in the asteroid belt and kept it a secret from the world. A stealth mission crewed by 9 astronauts was sent to make contact, and they're getting close, assuming they survived the long journey to reach their destination. Today, President-elect Blades has become the most powerful man on the planet, this planet. Now, this is a great series being helmed by Charles Soule with artwork by Alberto Jimenez Albuquerque. It has great character development and leaves the readers wondering whether the astronauts knew what they were getting into or not. There's conspiracy, intrigue, politics, science fiction, and just great characters. Strong characterizations and great artwork make this a highly recommended series, and it's hard to go wrong with Charles Soule. This is one of his creator-owned projects, and it's very good and highly acclaimed. I suggest you check it out. Again, it's Letter 44, Volume 1. This is part of their specially priced Square One program, so it's only $10 retail and probably about half that through DCBS. It's found on page 375. Check it out. And everyone listening to this podcast and everyone who is submitting solicits, and especially to John and his sister Kay and Drew, Sam, TJ, and everyone directly related to the Comic Book Page podcast, I just want to thank you for the gift of the free entertainment that you give us year round. I hope everyone has a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and I'll see you on the forums. Thanks, John.
This is Jerry again, and I'm all the way back on page 387 in the catalog in the Red 5 Comics section, and I'm looking at The Rift, number 2, written by Richard Rayner and Don Hanfield, art and cover art by Lino Carvalho. After witnessing Cole, a WW2 fighter pilot from 1941, crash land in present-day Kansas, single mother Mary Ann and her son find themselves drawn into the work of Section 47, a secret government organization responsible for responding to rifts that open in space and time. Cole visits his now elderly wife and gets a glimpse at his own fate as he must return to his own age before the rift explodes, or worse, sends something else through. Presented by two-time Academy Award nominee Jeremy Renner, The Rift is a high-concept science fiction adventure grounded in reality, focusing on character relationships and emotion. This is issue number 2 in what is solicited as a 4-issue miniseries, and the cover price is $3.95. Well, that just sounded good. I ran across that solicit. I'm a big sci-fi guy. I like the concept. The problem is, I didn't see The Rift number 1 last month or whenever it was solicited. I missed it. So I don't think it's out yet, but I'm going to have to look into it because I'm going to have to pick that book up, because number 2 sounds really good and this sounds like a miniseries that's worth checking out. I don't have a ton of information, just what I read. The premise sounds interesting. I want to read this miniseries, The Rift number 2 from Red 5 Comics. Thanks.
Hey guys, this is Michael back with another pick in the December previews. This is going to be way in the back of the catalog, page 398 from Titan Comics. Forever War, number 1. Writer, Joe Haldeman. Artist, Marvano. It's going to be 32 pages, retail for $3.99 and on sale February 15th, 2017. The visionary, Hugo, and Nebula award-winning sci-fi tale by Joe Haldeman is beautifully realized and in full color by the legendary artist, Marvano. An epic sci-fi war story spanning space and time, the Forever War explores one soldier's experience caught up in the brutal machinery of a war that reaches across the stars. This looks really, really good to me. I first caught my eye when I was flipping through when it said there had been a movie that's already been optioned. I know that's kind of weak to want to read a story based on just on that, but I don't have any Titan Comics on my pull list right now, and this looks something I would like to try. I think that the story kind of is one of those ones that's kind of timeless, and will hopefully be a kind of a ground level view of this guy's point of view of going through this war and what it does to him. So it looks like it could be really, really good, and I'm always looking to add independent titles to my pull list if they're good, and I'm going to try this one out. It does look, from the cover art, looks really awesome. They got some interior art pages in here, and looks like it could be really good. I'm willing to try this one. I don't have any Titan Comics on my pull list, like I said, but I'm definitely going to try this out, and you guys should too. So it's Forever War number 1, February 15th, 2017. Check it out.
Aloha, guys. This is Jason from Hawaii. My pick for this month's preview spotlight comes from the Tomorrow Publishing on page 418. It's back issue number 95. Now, basically, this issue is focusing on creatures of the night in the Bronze Age. And it seems like they'll be focusing more on one of Drew's favorite comic book characters, Moon Knight. They're also going to be focusing on Ghost Rider, Night Nurse, and Eclipso, just to name a few. The reason why I'm picking this up is because writer, and I'm going to try to pronounce his name correctly, Doug Monk, and artist Bill Skevich. I remember, you know, they worked on Moon Knight back in the late 70s, I believe. And I remember reading, a two-part story on Moon Knight that they did In, I believe it was the Rampaging Hulk magazine back in the late 70s. And, you know, that was a very good story. That was a really good story. So I just, you know, they're going to be interviewed in this issue. And I just, you know, I'm just picking this up just to, you know, read their interview as well, you know, to see, you know, what their thought process was back then on writing Moon Knight and so forth. So if you guys get a chance, pick up back issue number 95. Again, it focuses on creatures of the night in the Bronze Age. You know, again, on Moon Knight and Eclipso and Ghost Rider, just to name a few. Thank you for listening. Back to you, John.
Hi, Todd Cassell from Phoenix, Arizona, with my last pick. It's on page 539 of the Import Toys, Statues and Models, and it is Gigantic Series Godzilla 2001 figure with a blue dorsal fin. From X-Plus, Godzilla 2001 kicked off X-Plus' new gigantic series of colossal painted soft vinyl figures in December 2013. This sought-after figure, based on Godzilla, Mothra, and King Ghidorah, is now being reissued with the new blue-white translucent dorsal fins, replicating the glow as the monster powers up his radioactive breath. Standing almost 15 inches tall and 30 inches in length, add him to your collection today. Looks like the item's been previously solicited. I guess I didn't notice it before. But, wow, this is a beauty. Just look at his stance. He's not just standing there. He's, like, got his shoulders hunched over. He's got a big growling mouth. And this sucker is $425.99. Oh. Well, it was nice while I was dreaming of it, Godzilla, but I need that money to buy some more Master of Deadly Hands of Kung Fu Omnibuy. Oh, well, that's it for this month. And yes, one last bit of 70s word. Someone else is doing the Green Lantern and Planet of the Apes miniseries that is coming out, so I'm not going to go into that other than go take a look at that solicit. Look at that cover, the one that's emulating the Gil Kane, the famous Gil Kane Green Lantern cover. Oh, it's Green Lantern as one of the apes from Planet of the Apes. Oh, it's a beauty. Oh, that is beautiful. Maybe I'll talk about it in another podcast. Bye.
Hi, this is Randy from Dragon's Lair out in Hawaii. I just wanted to let you know we are going to be having special sales going on all month on our website, dragonslaircomics.org. A lot of stuff will be up to 50% off, maybe some items a little bit more. But we encourage you to check us out and support us there at dragonslaircomics.org. And as always, you can find us on Facebook at Dragon's Lair Comics and Instagram, also Dragon's Lair Comics. Thanks.
Aloha, guys. This is Jason from Hawaii. I'm just doing my shout-out clip for this episode. I just want to say last month's episode, episode 109, that was a great episode, man. You know, it was running 2 hours plus. That was an awesome episode, man. That was pretty cool. My first shout-out goes to Jerry. Jerry, thank you very much for recommending the Image comic series God Country. I'm planning to check out that first story arc. And the second shout out goes to Eric. Eric, you know, just thank you for the shout out. Thank you for the kind words, sir. Thank you very much. And, you know, I just hope you and James will be submitting more clips in the future to the Preview Spotlight episode. You know, to everyone, you know, I look forward to hearing everybody's clips. You know, and thank you very much for listening to my clips as well. Thank you very much. I just want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas or Melikalikimaka. Until next month, aloha.
Well, I hope everybody found some stuff of interest in this month's previews. I found a number of things myself. My total actually this month is higher than it normally is, but over $100 of that is essentially toys. The Eagle Moss Star Trek stuff has another shuttlecraft set, and they've got the USS Saratoga, so I figured I'm going to go ahead and get those. And then they've got, further in the back, the Power Ranger Legacy coin set. So between just those three things, I mean, that's a retail price of about $132 after the DCBS discount drops to about $105. But my total is around $620.75. drop out that $105.26, and it's right around where it normally is. And part of that is just there's a ton of comics out there to be getting. Those Star Trek ships and the Power Ranger coins are almost everything I've got that's over $5 out of pocket. The other thing is the Star Trek New Visions issue they're doing. This is the John Byrne photo manipulation stuff. I think these are just amazingly done. He's doing just a terrific job of blending footage from the original show, remixing it, and it still works surprisingly well as a comic book. Normally, that kind of photorealistic stuff just doesn't work for me in a comic, but John Byrne's making it work, doing a terrific job. I mean, those are the only things I've got that are costing me over $5. I only have three items that are between the $3 and $5 cost, and that's because there are getting to be a couple of comics out there that are either the $4.99 or $5.99, and even after the DCBS discount, those get to be above a couple of bucks. That'd be like Miraculous, The Supergirl Being Super, and The Dead Man Dark Mention of Forbidden Love, and that's the final issue of that, so at least that'll go away next time. But then I've got another, I think, nine items that are costing me $2.99, so almost $3, but not quite. And again, that's just a bunch of stuff, predominantly over at Marvel, that's a $4.99 cover price. So, you know, comics are expensive. They're getting a little too expensive. And between that and just the amount of time it takes to read and such, I'm at the point where I'm questioning, do I stay in a couple of areas, specifically some of what IDW is doing with the Hasbro line. There are a couple of titles I'm getting right now. There are a couple of titles I'm not. And if it comes to a point of deciding, am I in or out of that universe, I may go out. And Marvel really, I think, needs to kind of trim back some of their overpriced stuff. Most of those $4.99 books I have are tied into this whole Monsters Unleashed, including two issues of that miniseries this month. And again, I'm liking what they're doing by and large, but it's making me question my purchasing decisions, and that's never a good thing for a publisher. But like I said, I found tons of cool stuff. Hopefully you guys did too. We had a lot of great clips. We had, I think, a total of 54 clips this time around. I want to thank Ian, Billy, Chris, Drew, Jason, Jerry, Michael, Mo, and Todd for sending them in. We've got an open submission policy, so if you want to send clips in next month, please do. All you've got to do is send in an MP3 or an M4A. If you've got a smartphone, you can find a recording app, you can record it on that, email it to me, and we're good to go. It's really not that hard. The Comic Book Page teleconference is going to be coming up. It'll be on Saturday, December 17th. We do that at 7 p.m. Central Time. We do that on Skype. There's instructions on the forum at comicbookpage.com for how to get in on that. Basically, we talk about comics and stuff. And I'm predominantly caught up. I still got to read this week's comics. And by that point, next week's comics, because I'm recording this on the 10th. But I'm as caught up as I have been in ages. So that'll free up some discussion possibilities if people want to do that. DCBS order is due, I believe, on December 28th. I believe that's also when the next previews will get released. If you shop at a local store, and by all means, if you've got a good one, please support them. Find out when they need their orders. It's usually a bit sooner. That way they've got time to tabulate, do all that stuff, and make sure they get you what you want. The deadline for the next preview spotlight is going to be January 7th, that Saturday. It's, again, crack it on in theory, or it's at least whenever I wake up that morning, I need to have them so I can start compiling the episode. This usually isn't the only thing I do on that Saturday or whatever, but it's the majority of what I do on that Saturday. I'm finishing this up and it's closing in on 10 o'clock. And, you know, I took some breaks to do some other things or whatnot. But between recording my clips, getting everything cleaned up, listening to all the audio, all of that, it takes a bit of time to do these episodes. So I hope you guys enjoy it. I know a lot of you do and a lot of you submit and every month, and I really appreciate it. It makes it a worthwhile use of my time because of that. And really, these episodes would be really boring if you guys didn't send in clips. So appreciate you guys doing that. That's how I find out about new stuff. So again, this month's Comic Book Page teleconference on December 17th. Next month, it will be January 14th. Again, 7 p.m. Central each time. on Skype. You just need to ask me if the call is going by chatting me on Skype, and I'll pull you in. It's a lot of fun. So, like I said, hopefully everybody found some good stuff. Hopefully everybody has happy holidays as the year wraps up. Also be thinking about sending in your submissions for kind of the best of for the year. We're going to be doing the yearly comic spotlight before too long. That's always a ton of fun. That's also another way I find out about cool things I should be reading. I mean, it may seem like I'm getting a lot of stuff, and I'm getting a fair amount, but it never ceases to amaze me that there is stuff I am not getting that I would really love, and I just stumble across it by accident. Not by accident, by, you know, clips sent into here, or by people pointing it out on the best of for the year, or just posting about it on the forum. There's so much great stuff coming out in the comic medium these days. It's easy for things to get lost in the shuffle, and I appreciate you guys helping me out and finding what it is and sharing the love of comics. So, with that, we'll call it an episode.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.